I'll be reading John 4, verses 3 to 10. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Try it again. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, he sat down on the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew that gift of God and who it is that asks for you a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living waters."
I'd like to introduce to you Carla Minter, and her husband Bill is here too, so we want to welcome them. Carla comes from us from New Paris, Indiana, which is just near Goshen, and she works at Mennonite Mission Network, where she's a church relations representative. If you were here for Sunday school, I think we got a great snapshot overview of what MMN is doing throughout the world and just some really exciting things. But one of the things that Carla also does is she goes out to congregations and she does biblical storytelling. And I first heard, well, I was with Greg actually, we were at Pastors and Leaders Week in Indiana, and I thought, man, we need to get Carla to come to Midway. So we've been working at this for a couple months and have timed it to be in this series of encounters with Jesus in the Gospel of John. So she is going to be doing some biblical storytelling on an encounter with Jesus. And so we're just really thankful you're here, and I'll just pray over you real fast. Awesome. Lord, you are an awesome and amazing God, and you are the one, Lord, who breaks the darkness, who frees the prisoners, and who brings healing and the gospel. And Lord, you are also the one whom we encounter today in your living word, when we encounter your son Jesus and when we encounter the scripture, Lord. And I just ask that you speak through Carla today as she brings anew and proclaims your word again to us. Lord, work through her and open our hearts, Lord, that we are ready to receive your word, that we're ready to not only receive it, but let it enter our hearts and begin to work on us and begin to transform us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Encounters with Jesus. I think it is the Spirit's work that one of the stories I often tell is the woman at the well from the Gospel of John. And Matthew said, well, we're going to do a series of encounters from John, and my story fits right in. How about that? God is working not only here, but in many, many places, and I feel very blessed to be asked to join you in worship this morning. When I was a girl growing up in a Mennonite congregation in northern Indiana, maybe some of you know Olive Mennonite Church, south of Elkhart, Wakarusa, that area, very rural Mennonite experience. The songs that we sang in the new hymnal, this is the newer hymnal, they're under categories like mission and evangelism and conversion. And as a girl growing up in the Mennonite church, those weren't words that I was very comfortable with, but I sang it. So I'm grateful that the songs were part of what shaped my faith. I love to tell the story. Scripture was important then and now. The other song we sang is one of my favorites, "Lord, I Am Fondly, Earnestly Longing." So for a rural girl to be singing, these words are pretty flowery, more expressive than what I would have named my faith as at the time. "Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing into thy holy likeness to grow, thirsting for more and deeper communion, yearning thy love more fully to know." I'm grateful that the hymns had more expression than what our worship had in those times. I also learned to pray, as we heard in the children's story this morning, and to love Scripture, the Scripture stories. There was a program called Bible Memory. So as a girl, I learned verses. And when I learned verses, I'd get small prizes. The biggest prize was a week at camp. The very first prize I got was for learning the 23rd Psalm. And after learning that in first grade, I received this little booklet, which is the Gospel of John. An encounter with the Gospel of John. It keeps coming up. And then life went on. And when we were living in North Carolina, I was doing graduate work, so this would have been my early adulthood. There was a woman named Elaine Summers Rich, and she and her husband were doing some work short term and were worshiping with us. And she, during a Sunday school class, just recited John Chapter 1, verses 1 to 18, that was your first sermon, the first Sunday of your encounters with Jesus. Matthew focused on that passage. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." She reminded me that I love the biblical story. And I think that was a part of an encounter that kept me turning back to the biblical story. Eventually took a seminary class, and the first class I took was biblical storytelling. And so the encounters have continued. I have been shaped and formed by the biblical story. The biblical story has the power to change us. We encounter God in those stories, and we become changed and changing into the image of Christ. In this particular story, where Jesus encounters the woman at the well, a Samaritan woman, you might feel like you know this story. It's a familiar story if you've heard a lot of Bible stories. But do you really know this story? Like when Jesus says, the very first thing he says, "Give me a drink." How is he saying that? Is it willful? "Give me a drink. I am going to get a drink out of you. This is my goal. Give me a drink." He's thirsty, he's hot, he's tired. Or is it a willingness? "Give me a drink." Now remember that the Samaritans and the Jews not only disliked each other, they hated each other. The Samaritans were from the northern kingdom, and when the Assyrians conquered that area, they stayed, and they brought their ways of worshiping, and they intermarried. So the Jews felt like the Samaritans were now not real Jews. They weren't worshiping right. "You're not us." And they avoided the Jews, they avoided the Samaritans by walking around the country. To go from Judea to Galilee, you could go right through Samaria, but people went the long way around to avoid the people they hated. But Jesus, decided to go through Samaria. Was he willful? I'm going here. Or was he willing? I'm going to go into the places where I am needed, where there is animosity between people. And remember, too, what happened with men, between men and women at that time. In public, a Jewish man would never initiate a conversation with a woman. Initiate a conversation, never. And a rabbi would never be seen publicly talking with a woman. Never. And Jews and Samaritans did not share things in common as like touching the same things. So with that one phrase, give me a drink, Jesus breaks every one of those taboos. He was a man initiating a conversation in public. He was a rabbi talking with a woman. Was he willful in wanting to drink out of her cup? I think that you might call it, sometimes we call that a posture. It took me a few years to figure out what that was, an inner posture. What was Jesus's inside stance, his posture, when he approached the Samaritans and the woman? And I think it helps us know, as we engage with people in the world, are we willing to learn from them, willing to be a part of their lives, or are we willful? Are we insisting that what I have is what you need, that you will talk with me? Jesus, with the woman at the well, was he willing to drink from her vessel? Willing to talk with her, open, or was he willful? And how are we when we encounter people in new places? So now we could study the scripture, which we often do. I could launch into a 3-point sermon, which Matt does, I'm sure, wonderfully. But instead, I'm going to just tell the story. I know the story from the NRSV, so it's Luke, John chapter 4, verses about 3 to 42. And it's a long passage. It'll take about 10 minutes. I know the story, but if I mess up, it's okay. I'll just back up and start over, so you don't have to worry for me. It's okay. We're gonna tell this story together. And after the story, I'm going to just pause and allow some silence. And let you reflect on the part of the story that seemed to catch your attention. And then I'll ask a few reflective questions about the part of the story that caught your attention. So what we're doing is, together, we are engaging the story. In a sense, we are making the sermon together. All of us are going to hear the story, and with the power of the Spirit, to listen to what part of the story caught your attention. Not the part that you think you should notice, but for whatever reason, what part of the story seems to jump out at you? And then I'll lead you through some questions about that. So where will you encounter Jesus in this story today? Here it is, John chapter 4. Now Jesus left Judea and started back to Galilee, but he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, And Jesus, tired from his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the city to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." And Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Then the woman said, "Sir, the well is deep, and you have no bucket. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well, and with his sons and flocks drank from it?" And Jesus said to her, "All those who drink of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." Then the woman said, "Sir, give me this water so that I will never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." And Jesus said, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman replied, "I have no husband." And Jesus said, "You are right in saying you have no husband. You have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." Then the woman says, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. So our ancestors worship on this mountain, but you Jews say the place we must worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus said, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming where you will worship neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation comes from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, where the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." Then the woman said, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will reveal all things to us." And Jesus said, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then the disciples came back, and they were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar, and she went back to the village, and she said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" And they left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat something." And Jesus said, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." And they said, "Surely no one brought him something to eat." And he said, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to complete that work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around and see that the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving his wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I have sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into that labor. Many Samaritans from that city believed because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when they came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And then they said to the woman, "It's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." Now, some time in silence, thinking about what part of the story caught your attention. What part of the story seemed to stand out to you? What word, phrase, or image caught your attention? Now, if you would like, the reflective questions are in the insert in your bulletin, and you might want to write down the word, phrase, or image that seemed to catch your attention. And then you can think about it later. Or I'll also give you a chance to name that out loud if you would like. This is your chance to talk out loud in church. So you don't have to, but each time that I go through a question, I'll invite you, if you would like, to name it out loud, and in that way, we're hearing what other people are experiencing. So you might want to jot it down there. And now, if you would like, you could name that out loud. What's the word, phrase, or image that you noticed in the story? So Jesus being willing to go through Samaria. Jesus went into the village and stayed there for 2 days and taught. Jesus affirmed that the woman named her truth. Then later, that word truth shows up, where the true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. He used a woman to announce who he was to the Samaritans. The woman knew that the Messiah was coming. They were looking for a Messiah. Now continue to think and hold in prayer the part of the story that stood out to you. And the second question is to meditate on that word, phrase, or image. Ask yourself how it touches your life. So again, a bit of time in silence. How does the part of the story that stood out to you touch your life. A bit more time in silence. And now you might want to jot down something on the paper. And if you would like, you could name out loud the part of the story and how it seems to be connecting with your life in just a brief word or phrase.
That she felt it was necessary to share what she had just experienced.
You're noticing how she felt it was so necessary to share what she experienced. And you're taking that into your own life now, too. This is a little more personal, and it's okay if you don't want to say it out loud. It's like the Spirit was really working between the two of them. They knew what, he knew some things about her. She interacted with him. The Spirit was present in that conversation. Perfect people not allowed in church. You're noticing a call for people as they are in this story. She doubted. She said, that well is so deep, you don't have a bucket. And yet, what was needed was supplied. Jesus spent time with other people. So now the next question, again, the part of the story that stood out to you the most, how does it call you? In other words, what is the invitation it does? Some of you name that right off the start. This makes me want to. So if you haven't done that yet, then ask in with this next period of silence and prayerfully say, so what is this text calling me to? What should I do in response? You could jot that down. A bit of time in silence. And now coming back to the group, you can write something down there that you want to do, and even make it specific, something you want to do in the next 2 days. What can you do in response to this story in the next 1 or 2 days? And now I invite you, if you would like, you could name that out loud. And it's okay to just write it down. You don't have to say it out loud. It's okay. I see some people writing. What does this text call you to do even in the next 2 days? And then the final question is more of a prayer to simply offer your experience to God, and we'll do this in a prayerful stance. We thank God for being with us. Thank the Holy Spirit for being present in this story and in our lives, and ask that it continue to grow and change and move us as faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. From John 20, verses 30 and 31, the purpose of this gospel. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life. Amen.